This morning's scripture is a scripture that I originally learned as a song. And it's like so many of them, it's just one of those things that you start with the first couple of words in it and it just flows. This is the letter, this is Paul's writing to the church at Rome. Let us listen. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For do we not know what we should pray for as we ought? But the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the minds of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the spirits according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknoweth, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he also called. Whom he called, those he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What, when shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who is condemned? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, it is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God the Father, who also makes intercessions for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep ready for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
And now for our gospel lesson today, I'm going to be reading you selected verses from Matthew 13. I'm going to start with verse 31. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air can come and perch in its branches. And now verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock, my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scripture, and now to share my testimony. Amen. It seems as human beings at times, we have a problem with perception.
the way maybe we think things are and the way things actually are. Sometimes when we try to perceive things, we can get way far off. You know, there's a story about a man by the name of Thomas Wheeler, and Thomas Wheeler is the chief executive officer of Massachusetts Insurance Company, Massachusetts Mutual Insurance Company. And there's a story about Mr. Wheeler that on one trip, he and his wife were driving back home where they had lived and she had grown up. And on the way back home, they were driving through part of a desert, and they stopped and needed gas. And Mr. Wheeler went back into the station, and those were the days where people used to pump gas. And remember those days where you'd pull up and they would do that for you? Doesn't happen anymore, does it? But the gentleman started pumping gas for Mr. and Mrs. Wheeler. Mr. Wheeler went back into the station, and Mrs. Wheeler struck up a conversation with the gas station attendant. And the husband was looking outside of the window, and he's going, "This is confusing me. I mean, they're really talking up a storm." Well, Mr. Wheeler goes out, and the attendant says goodbye to his wife and says goodbye to them as they get on their way. And Mr. Wheeler says to his wife, he says, "Did you know that person?" And she says, "You know, by the way, I did." She goes, "I knew him all through high school, and we even dated briefly." And Mr. Wheeler, with a smug look on his face, said to her, "Well, my dear, if you would have married him, instead of being married to a CEO, you'd be married to a gas station attendant." And Mrs. Wheeler looked at him so kindly and sweetly, said, "You've got it wrong, my dear. If I would have married him, he would be the CEO, and you would be the gas station attendant." Do you see how we, as in our humanness and our perception, can get launched in different areas? You know, Jesus knew this about us as human beings, that sometimes we have the propensity to look at something and get it wrong. And so that's why he told parables. And that's why for the last couple of Sundays we've been hearing those parables. And today, the parables that I read to you all were around what the kingdom of heaven is like. And so the first one today I'd like to talk about and kind of unpack what Jesus was really saying to us and how to really perceive this. Well, he says the first one is the kingdom of heaven is like a tiny mustard seed. Now, a mustard seed, most of you have seen them there. I mean, you could probably hold a million of them in your hands. That's how tiny they are. And so he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, something so enormous to this little mustard seed. But he says this. He says that when that seed is planted, that little seed is planted, a huge bush comes. And a beautiful plant. And not only is it is a beautiful plant, but it's a place where the birds can come and nest and flourish and care for their young. You know, even though this kingdom of God we talk about is so enormous, God calls us back to maybe some of the smallest things that can change our perception of Him and what heaven is like. You know, imperceptible things have real influence, and Jesus said that is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Those little things are what we need to focus on in order to really see the beauty and the bounty of the kingdom of heaven. You know, we're so focused in our society now on big things. Even in churches, you know, we focused on why can't every church be that mega church that has 8,000 or 9,000 people on a weekend in worship? Sometimes we get so worried about that we forget about the power and the healing and the love of Jesus Christ in a local church that cares for each other and loves each other and works together. We see that our bigness of things in social, in our social society, and how much money that we have, and or how successful our name is among the earth. And yet Jesus brings us back to the kingdom of heaven. The thing that he offers us, part of our salvation from here, starts with some very, very small but important things. You know, it's amazing the power sometimes that these small things can have. But sometimes it just takes a little bit of patience to really work with people. Sometimes it takes just that little bit of love to redeem a relationship or a situation. Sometimes it just takes a little bit of grace in our relationships, especially giving someone forgiveness that maybe they're not privy to, but that we give that to them, and that little bit of grace can bring healing. And yes, sometimes it just takes a little bit of understanding to even save a marriage. You see, when God moved in history for salvation, there were no legions of angels. There were no great big computers back then. But when God moved in history to give us salvation, he planted a tiny seed in the womb of a pleasant girl. And one day that seed grew to fullness, and his name was Jesus Christ, and he changed the world. The kingdom of heaven is like a tiny mustard seed. Now, the next part of the passage, Jesus says this. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. And we're told that the man hides the treasure and then goes and gathers all he has and buys that field because that treasure is there. You know, Jesus in other parts of the Bible talks about rich men and how rich men don't enter the kingdom of God. But we have to kind of be careful because here Jesus is talking about the treasure, not the man. Some people get confused about that sometimes, but this man who finds this treasure and he puts it in that field and he buries it because he knows it's there, and then he does everything he can so that he can buy that field so that it can be in his possession forever. Now, Jesus is not giving his approval or disapproval of the man's behavior, but he's focusing on what getting the uncommon kingdom of heaven is like. Heaven is worth whatever it takes to get it. And that's where, you know, we as Christians need to understand that God provides and bought our salvations for us. But as we pursue a life with him beyond this, it takes whatever it's worth to get it, to put ourselves in Jesus' arms. So whatever sacrifice we have to make, whatever loss we have to endure, to bring this in our life, it's worth the effort. And if you read St. Paul in the Romans and Corinthians and some of those chapters, Paul always talks about the things that maybe he has to count as loss in order to gain salvation in the kingdom of heaven. And the peace that he gets from this. And this, he says, is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's worth whatever it takes to get it. The last passage that I'd like to focus on is this parable. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of great pearls. Now this time, we're not looking at something that's hidden that he finds. This is something that's pretty well in the open, but he finds it. And he sees that pearl, and he goes and he sells everything he has to buy it. So this time it's not a hidden treasure found by accident, but it's found in the public marketplace. And his response is that he will do whatever it is to get that pearl because it is so precious. When we think about our life here on this earth and our life in heaven, about how precious Jesus gives us our salvation, but not only our salvation, but the kingdom beyond this that we call heaven. How precious it is to know that those we have loved and cared for who have gone from this world are now entrusted into the kingdom of heaven, something that will never perish, something that will never fall apart. His response is important. The man who finds that pearl sells all to possess it. You know, there's a story of a monk who found such precious pearl, and it was actually a very precious stone, as the monk was walking one day along the seashore. And when he found this, he recognized it as a very, very precious stone, probably worth a lot of money. And on his way back to the abbey, the monk is stopped by a traveler who is in need. And the traveler looks at that stone. And he says to the man, "I'm in need. Can I have that stone?" And the monk says, opens his bag and says, "Here it is. You can have it." And he gave the traveler that precious stone. Well, the story goes on that a few days later, that traveler came back to the monastery and he returned the stone to that monk, but with a request, a very different request. And he said, "Sir, please give me something more valuable, more precious than this stone." And the monk says, "Well, what would be that? You've got it right in your hand." And the traveler said, "Please give me that which enabled you to give me the stone. Please give me a heart that can give even the most precious things up, to have that spirit, to have that blessing." And sometimes we need to do that as humans. We just need to understand that the kingdom of heaven is like that precious stone, and God gives it to us. But God wants a commitment of our whole heart, a commitment of our whole heart, and that is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Like a merchant who finds a stone and does everything to get it. I think that Jesus wraps up this chapter in Matthew by these three parables. And I think he wants us now, as we perceive maybe what our salvation is, maybe what our future is, Jesus wants us to open our eyes and our ears to things, to treasures that might not be in big places, but might be very small, in which we can continue to grow in our relationship with him, or to where we can continue to claim our blessing and our salvation that he bought for us on the cross, but that someday that we will understand that these little things that we're doing are buying us the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And it is so enormous that it's something we can't even begin to understand the blessing of. I think it's beautiful today to hear these parables. And I pray that God will bless each and every one of us by the meaning of them. And I pray that as we continue to read the scriptures, that our minds will center on and perceive the truth in them, instead of what we sometimes interpret them to be. And Jesus tells us stories. And in turn, we're to tell others our story. Because you see, as those seeds are planted, as God's healings have occurred, as God's blessings have fallen afresh on us, then those little seeds need to be passed on, like that stone was passed on, so that God's kingdom may come and reign and God's heaven may be open to all who believe. Let's bow our heads. God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, you know about our feeble ways. You know sometimes about our humanness. You know sometimes how we maybe overlook the small things that we can be doing for the bigger and might lose the blessing that you put in front of us. Today, Lord, we remember that mustard seed. Today, we remember that treasure in the field. Today, we remember that pearl. For when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. And Lord, when we all see you face to face, we know the blessing. And as was read today from the book of Romans, while we're going through this, that nothing that we do can ever separate us from your love. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.